You are listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we hope and pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen.
We have been, for a few weeks now, looking at some things in the book of Proverbs. I hope this has been a help to you, and I hope that some of you, maybe a lot of you, have started reading a proverb a day, like I've been encouraging you to do so. Just read the proverb that corresponds with the day of the month, and that's an easy way to keep up with it. If you miss a day, don't panic. Don't beat yourself up. Don't walk around with guilt and shame, feeling like God's disappointed with you, okay? If you want to read two the next day and catch up, that's fine. If you just want to move on right where you are, God's perfectly okay with that. He understands. But the importance is just begin. Make it a habit to let the wisdom of God from Proverbs begin to flow into your life. It will do amazing things for you. You know, we have a lot of quote Proverbs that we use all the time. They're called cliches, really. I wonder if you know some of these. I'm sure you do. I'm sure you know all of them. See if you can finish the last part, all right? Help me out. Don't judge a book by its cover. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Many hands make... Oh, not too many people knew that one. Many hands make light work, but too many cooks spoil the broth. People who live in glass houses shouldn't... Is that what it is? I always thought it was people in glass houses should get dressed in the basement. That's what I always heard. I had that one wrong. Proverbs is not a book of cute little catchy sayings. Proverbs is not a book of, you know, clever little, cute little sayings. Make hay while the sun shines. Well, okay, I feel really wise now. Proverbs is a book, and it's important to understand this, it is a book that contains the very wisdom of God. The very wisdom of God. And today, in the time that we have, I want to, again, just give you three very simple things this morning. You know, if you teach from Proverbs and it's not simple and practical, then somebody's missing something somewhere, because Proverbs is extraordinarily practical. And remember I told you, and I want to remind you of this, that Proverbs is not a book only for scholars. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite of that. Proverbs is a book that gives us practical, godly wisdom for everyday life. It's a very, very practical book. Three things I want to share with you very quickly in the time that we have. Number one, wisdom is essential for living a godly life. A theme that runs throughout the book of Proverbs is this. If you want to live a miserable life, filled with one poor decision after another, a life that is filled with compounding heartache and trouble, ignore wisdom. That's a theme that runs throughout Proverbs. Wisdom and a blessed life are constantly linked together in the book of Proverbs. You can't miss it. It's all the way through Proverbs. Wisdom and a blessed, joyful, happy, fulfilling, meaningful life go hand in hand all the way through the book. And it's interesting, a lot of places in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified. Wisdom takes on a personality, and wisdom actually begins to speak to us from the book of Proverbs. Take a look at one of these, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33. Now, as we read this, understand, this is wisdom speaking these words, okay? It says, "Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me," to wisdom, "watching daily at my doors." Remember, I've been encouraging you to read a proverb a day. "Watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway, Listen to this. For whoever finds me, that's wisdom, finds life and receives favor from the Lord. Proverbs 3:13 says, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, for she, now wisdom has taken on a different personality, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. Everybody, every one of us at some point in our life wishes that we could find a sure thing. I mean, we wish that we could find something in this life that was absolutely guaranteed to pay off. I remember years and years ago when I just moved from South Africa here to America. I hadn't been here long, maybe 6 or 8 months at the most probably. I went to my mailbox one day and I got my mail and there was this big brown envelope in the mail. And it had a picture of some guy named Ed McMahon on the front. And in these huge, bold letters across the front of the envelope, it said this, Phil Pike, you have just won $10 million. I'd just come from Africa. I'd never heard of Publishers Clearing House. I read those words and I said, no way. I tore the envelope open. I'm looking for the check. And all I found was magazine subscriptions. What I didn't read when I first looked at that envelope was just above that 200-point font size, in about a 1-point font size that you need a microscope to read, it said, if you return the winning entry, we will announce that Phil Pike has just won $10 million. Well, I was disgusted and disappointed. And all of us in life, you know, we want something that's a sure thing, but we get disappointed by things in life so often. Let me ask you, if you knew of one sure way to receive the favor of the Lord on your life, on your day-to-day decisions through life, if you knew of one sure way to receive God's favor on your life, would you want to know about it? Boy, I would. I'd absolutely want to know. Proverbs says that those who continually pursue God's wisdom will have God's blessing and favor on their life. Now, this isn't some kind of a promise of a magic genie in a lamp. That if you rub the lamp and you say the magic words, God will send some huge financial windfall into your life by 11 p.m. That's not what this is talking about. This is incredibly simple, this principle. Here it is. God created life. Let me tell you what that means. It means that God knows better than anybody else how to experience the best life possible. He made it. He created, he designed, he invented life. And God is the only one who can tell you and me how to live the best, most fulfilling, most rewarding life possible. We can't find that anybody else. Some people that I run into think that God is just a giant killjoy, that he doesn't want any of us to have any fun in life, that he's made up all these rules to keep us miserable in life. But I want to tell you, and young people, you listen especially to this, it's the exact opposite of that. It's the total opposite of that. And I know as young people, you know, you this is not a put down, this is just where you are in life, but you really won't fully understand this truth and this principle until you have kids of your own. Because it's so easy for young people to say, man, mom and dad are so mean. They're just keeping me from having fun in life. And a lot of people look at God that way. They say, man, I don't want God's wisdom. All God's about is just a bunch of religious rules to keep me from enjoying my life, to keep me from having fun, and to keep me from having pleasure in life. But I want to tell you, God's wisdom has put divine boundaries in place, not to keep us from enjoying life, but listen, to keep us from wrecking our life. And you old timers are shaking your heads because you know that's true. You know that's true. You've lived long enough to know that's true. If I may illustrate it this way, when my precious girl Caroline was a little bitty girl, I still remember this so clearly. She was scooting around the kitchen in one of those little, whatever they're called, when they can't quite walk yet, but they're learning to stand, and walker. Of course, it's so simple. Thank you. I don't know what they're called. I just bought it and put it together. So she was tooling around the kitchen in this thing, and she was now at the point where she was just about ready to walk on her own. And she would stand up and she would look over the counters and, right, you know what's coming. Well, we had a toaster oven on our counter. And me being the brilliant chef that I am, I made some toast one day. I'm very good at that. But this toaster oven got boiling hot on the outside. I mean, the whole thing just got extremely hot. I had just taken the stuff out. Caroline's in the kitchen and she scoots over to this thing and she's looking at it. And she puts her hand up on the counter. And I said, baby doll, don't touch that. It's hot. It will burn you. And her fingers did this on the counter. That's exactly what she did. And she looked back at me. And I said, sweetheart, it's going to burn you. Don't touch it. And she went. And I said, go ahead. And she put her hand up on that thing and touched it. And I mean, it fried her good. And of course, the tears came, and she's crying her little heart out. And the first person she runs to is Daddy, only because Mom wasn't home. And she's just crying, and I'm hugging her, and I'm wiping her tears away. I'm putting Band-Aids on her fingers. Let me ask you something, parents. Was I being cruel to my daughter by trying to put that boundary in place for her? Of course not. I did that because I loved her and I was trying to spare her some pain. Do you think I've ever had to have the toaster conversation with Caroline again? Not one time. She doesn't go near him now. I cured it completely for life. But you see, you know, some people might say, well, Phil, that's just awfully cruel of you to try to limit your daughter and to try to keep her from just doing whatever she wants to do. Well, no parent would think that. I mean, it's like a kid who wants to go and play ball out in a busy street. A parent could either say, well, sure, I mean, you have the right to do that, honey. Go explore life. Help yourself. No parent would ever do that. When they see their child running for the street, they race like crazy to grab them by the back of the shirt and pull them back to safety. And that's exactly the same thing that Proverbs does for us as we go through this life. God's not trying to rob us of joy and pleasure and happiness. Church, He's trying to protect us. That's all He's doing. And when we start to see life from God's perspective, I'll tell you, we will really begin to experience the richness and the fullness and the freedom of life. We have to have God's boundaries of wisdom in place in order to truly be free in life. But here's the bigger picture on this first point. The bigger picture is that God has invited you and me to be a part of His mission in this world of redeeming the lost to Himself. But we will never be able to carry out that mission without God's wisdom flowing through our life. God's work done in man's way is powerless and pathetic. But God's work done in God's way with God's wisdom is limitless. It is powerful and it will change the world. That's why it's so important. Wisdom is so important for living a godly life, for being all that God intends for us to be. We cannot do it in our own strength. It's impossible. So here's a practical application for you on this first point. I must receive God's wisdom on a daily basis. I must. In order to deal with the simple day-to-day decisions of life, in order to deal with those occasional huge decisions in life, In order to carry out the mission that God has for us, we must receive God's wisdom on a daily basis. Number two, not only is wisdom essential for living a godly life, but wisdom doesn't come naturally. Don't ever confuse intelligence with wisdom. They're not the same. There are some very smart people who have wrecked their lives. Don't ever confuse worldly success with wisdom. There are a lot of very, quote, successful people in this life. It all depends on your definition of success. But according to the world standards, there are some very successful people in this life, and all you got to do is turn on the entertainment news and watch their lives swirling into chaos. Because intelligence, riches, success, fame do not equal wisdom. They're totally different things. I remember seeing the story in 2006 where the world-famous geneticist William French Anderson was convicted of multiple counts of child molestation. This guy worked on some of the world's leading projects in genetics. He was runner-up for Time Magazine's Man of the Year in 1995. I mean, this guy was on the leading edge of his field, highly respected, convicted of multiple counts of child molestation. One of the children was his business associate's daughter. You know what his attorney said in a press conference? Blew my mind. He said this, quote, "Nothing about having a 176 IQ means you have good judgment," end quote. I was like, that's his attorney? Wow. And yet he's absolutely right. This guy had 176 IQ, just a couple points above mine. All right, you're still with me. And yet his own attorney said, that doesn't mean you're going to have good judgment. And this is what the Bible tells us again and again and again, that if we try to live a godly, effective life through our own, quote, wisdom, we'll never do it. Wisdom doesn't come naturally. Proverbs 14:12 is a verse I covered with you a few weeks ago, just very briefly. Actually, Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25 say exactly the same thing. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. There are many things in life that will seem right to you and me. Well, it feels okay. I mean, it seems like the right thing. From my perspective, it looks okay. The problem is, on our own, we all make unwise decisions. Every one of us do. Left to our own feelings, our own understanding, we'll make destructive choices through our life. We all know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I'm sure, but I hope they don't become too familiar to us that they lose their punch. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Our own understanding is not enough to get us through this life and have us finish our life in a godly manner. It's just not enough. Here's a truth I want you to remember. My perspective is always limited. Why don't you read that with me out loud and read it like you really mean it. Ready? My perspective is always limited. If we can keep that in mind, it will help point us to God in the decisions that we make through our life. My perspective is limited. I think I can see everything that I need to see, but I can't. It's like a group of people who are lost in a jungle. And nightfall is coming. And they know that if they don't get to where they need to be before nightfall, there's going to be some bad critters coming out of the jungle. And so they're walking along this path, and they come to a fork in the path. One goes left, one goes right. Which way do they go? They don't know. They can't see far enough. All they can see is 15 or 20 feet that way and that way. They're standing there arguing and debating. Well, I think we should go this way. I think we should go that way. That's a picture of how you and I go through life without God. But here's the other perspective. God is up in heaven looking down on that scene, and he sees not only the fork in the trail, he sees the whole forest. He sees the whole trail where they both lead. He knows that one of those trails leads to a dead end. He knows that the other trail leads to life and home. Those hikers can't see that, but God can. And that's the picture that I want to give you this morning, that as we go through life and we're making decisions, our perspective is limited, and we must have God's perspective on the decisions of our life. We have to. When we begin to seek God and His wisdom, then God begins to put His wisdom into us. And we begin to see life from God's perspective, not from our own. And it radically changes the way we make decisions. It radically changes the way we live our lives. Remember on the first week I gave you a definition of wisdom? There are lots of great definitions of wisdom. I don't know which one is exactly right. They're all good. Many of them I've read are good. Here's one that I think is just as practical as it gets. Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. I mean, it just doesn't get any simpler than that. You have a decision to make. Wisdom says, hey, don't look at this from your vantage point. Look at it from God's perspective. And all of a sudden, the view just changes, and you go, well, wait a second. Here's what I would have done, because it feels right to me. But wisdom says, no, this is what God wants you to do in this moment. Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. Here's a simple application on this second point. I must recognize my need for God. You go, Phil, that is so Sunday school-ish. Yeah, but do we live it? I must recognize my need for God constantly. You know what that requires? It requires humility. Because if I demand my way, what that means is, God, I'm not willing to bow my will to your will. I'm doing life my way. It requires humility, and I must recognize my need for God. Finally, number three, wisdom comes from time spent with God. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." The picture is this, that as you and I spend time with God, pursuing an intimate personal relationship with Him, that He gives us the wisdom that we need to live life. And it only comes from pursuing God. Why is that? It's because God is not only wise, God is wisdom. He is the very source of wisdom. That's where wisdom comes from. Wisdom doesn't, now you can get knowledge from all kinds of sources, but wisdom, the Bible says, comes from God. And if we're going to live lives of godly wisdom, we have to be pursuing the source of wisdom. Philippians 2:13 says it in kind of a different way. It says, "It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." It's God moving through our lives, living through us, that allows us to live according to His purposes and live a life of wisdom and godliness. Paul wrote this, and I close with this section of verses. In Romans 11, starting in verse 33, man, I don't know what was happening with Paul, but this is one of those times where he just fired up the quill and put it in fourth gear, and he just started writing. I can just imagine him writing this. Listen to the passion in these verses. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. To him be the glory forever. Amen. You hear how Paul starts that phrase? I can just, if he were preaching this, I could just almost hear the passion in his voice. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. But one of the things that I didn't notice for years were the verses that come immediately after that, which we've heard so many times, we know, but I wonder if we've ever made the connection. It's important to note that they come immediately after what we just read. There were no chapter divisions in the original writings. This was one continuous thought with Paul. He said, therefore, remember that's a transition word. I've shown you, if you see the word therefore, you've got to go back and see what it's connecting to. Paul is saying, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable he is. And then he goes right on to say, therefore, in view of all that, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And then he says in verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul is saying that all the depths of wisdom exist in God. And he's urging us to surrender our lives to him, to submerse ourselves to him, to lay ourselves, as it were, on an altar and sacrifice our lives to him and allow his wisdom to transform our minds, our decision-making, our thoughts, so that our lives can be good and acceptable and pleasing and perfect in his sight. Man, don't you want that kind of life? I do. I want it to be said about my life that it was good and pleasing to God. Apart from God's wisdom, we can't live that kind of life. It's impossible. Every day, you and I have the amazing opportunity to pursue the God of the universe. And not only to pursue him and never catch him, but to pursue him and have a daily, intimate relationship with the God of the universe. What a privilege that is. And as we spend time with God, reading his words that he's given to us in the Bible, it will begin to transform our daily lives. And we'll begin to see life through God's perspective instead of our own. Folks, I close by telling you this. I've known people, and I know you have too. I've known people who have lived their life ignoring the wisdom of God. And I tell you, their lives are a train wreck. They're just in shambles. Why? Because of one big incident that happened? No, let's not miss the important point here of wisdom and how wisdom impacts our life. Remember, I've used the phrase our day-to-day life, our day-to-day decisions all throughout this series, because that's really where the rubber meets the road when it comes to wisdom. It's not about reading the book of Proverbs and having this massive one-time revelation and we've got everything figured out. Proverbs is a book of God's wisdom that gives us day-by-day instructions for life. Because you know what, guys? All the small decisions throughout our life add up to our life. They do. And you see people who have just made one poor foolish decision after another. Nothing huge and earth-shattering, but just on a day-to-day basis, they just keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again. One foolish decision after another, month by month, year by year, and before you know it, life is gone. And they have nothing to show for it but misery and heartache and grief. I could put you in my car and take you to people in this city that I know right now who fall into that category. It's heartbreaking. People I know. because they ignored the daily wisdom of God in their life. Here's the flip side of that. I know people, and you do too, who've lived for 60, 70 years. And they may not have a lot in this world. Maybe they do. But these are people whose lives are a shining example of a godly life. Why is that? Is it just because they're smarter than the rest of us? Is it just because when they got saved, they got a better version of salvation than we did? They got version 3.0 and we're just on version 1? No. Every one of those people, you look back through their life, and yes, they made some bad decisions along the way like we all do, but their life is not characterized by that. They have lived a lifetime that is characterized by a pursuit of godly wisdom in the small day-to-day moments of their life. And you know what it's added up to? It's added up to a life that honors God. You want that for your life? Pursue wisdom at all costs, the Bible says. Pursue it, and God's favor will be on your life. Let's pray. I wonder in just this next moment, as we just reflect on this, I wonder if there's any one area in your life that God has brought to mind today or during this series. And I mean, it just stands out to you and you say, boy, I'm really lacking wisdom in this one area of my life. I wonder what that might look like for you. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and he'll give it to you. But it's the asking that's on our part. It's the asking, the seeking, the knocking. If we ask and seek and knock, Jesus said, we'll find. We've got to pursue him, though. We've got to ask. We've got to seek. We've got to knock. Is there one area of your life, perhaps, that stands out? Maybe it's just a minor thing. And you just say, Lord, you know what? I need godly wisdom in this one place in my life. Let me encourage you folks to begin to pursue the book of Proverbs. Father, thank you for giving us your godly wisdom in your word. And I thank you for how that speaks to us. Lord, if we read it, it will impact our lives. I thank you for the moment this week in my life, lying in bed one night, churning over a situation that I felt like I needed to deal with. And God's word came to me out of the blue and said, it is to a man's glory to overlook an offense. And I accepted that, and I was immediately at peace, and I fell asleep. Lord, that's a mini picture of life. If we will let your wisdom flow through us, it will change our lives, and we'll live lives of peace and effectiveness for your kingdom. So I pray, Father, that this church family would pursue wisdom from this point on. And I know it will change our lives. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. More teaching resources are available from our website at lifepointcc.org. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you today, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us directly from our website, or you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening. May God bless you.